Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would open your Bibles again to Romans chapter 8, the very end of the passage. In Romans 8, beginning in verse 38, we would remember these words. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. The main point today is that nothing can separate God's children from his love. Nothing can separate God's children from his love. Now, earlier in Romans 8, we said that when we're told that God is working all things together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose, God's word clearly makes a distinction between those who love him and those who don't. It doesn't say that everything's working out for everybody. And it doesn't say that there's no such thing as separation from God. This is for those who are in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from God's love. But until we are born again, until we come out of the kingdom of darkness and into the Lord's kingdom and yield our lives to the King, Jesus, we are separated from God. And we are headed toward an eternal separation from God. That's why Jesus said we have to be born again, or we will not even be able to see, to perceive the kingdom of God, much less enter into it. Now, we've been talking this week about the fact that we have a reality, whether we face it or not, we have a reality of a spiritual dimension. And prior to new birth, in Ephesians 2, our situation is described as dead in trespasses and sins. That's our spiritual condition. You're not dying, you're dead. You're spiritually dead. And so a lot of stuff that is very important makes zero sense to you. It's like, I just don't get it. I mean, these people are all excited about this stuff, and I just don't get it. I don't understand. What's the big deal? The big deal is that governments rise and fall. Sports dynasties rise and fall. Celebrities rise and fall. But individual people are going to spend forever somewhere. And you're either going to spend forever in a loving relationship with your Heavenly Father, the Creator of all things, who sent his Son to redeem all who trust in Jesus. Or you're going to spend forever in torment. So why would a loving God sentence anyone to death? I was just explaining to someone about the admissions process here at the ranch. And I said, you know, we have, over the years, had occasions where I went down to interview a prospective student, and that student looked at me and said, "There's no way I'm coming here." And I always gave the same response, and that is, "You're exactly right." You're exactly right. If you don't want to come to the ranch, you don't have to come to the ranch. Well, guess what? God says to humanity, come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And the universal response of all people everywhere, myself and you included, is to say to God, no thanks. I got this. I'm going to do life my way. I want to be my own boss. I want to do my own thing. I don't want somebody else telling me what to do. Well, as long as you're determined to be your own boss, have it your way, do your own thing, you're on your way to hell. But the flip side of that is this. If you recognize, hey, I'm not doing so well with my life. I have messed up. Never mind living up to God's standard. I don't even live up to my standard. You know, I thought I would never do that, and then I did it. I thought I would always be careful to do this, and I don't. I don't even live up to my standard. If you come to that and you cry out to God and say, God, have mercy on me. Forgive me. Save me. I have wonderful news for you. God has at that point already regenerated you. He has given you life by his Spirit. And you are dearly loved by him. And nothing can separate you from his love. Not even the demons in hell. We live in a war zone. There is warfare all the time. And we have a powerful enemy. He is intelligent, experienced, very well networked, very thoroughly organized, very strategic, and he has weapons. Jesus taught us to pray, deliver us from the evil one. Now, it's usually translated and usually prayed, deliver us from evil. But if you go back and look at what the actual wording is, what it actually says is, deliver us from the evil one. Why? Because Jesus was more keenly alert to the reality of Satan than most of the people who translated the Bible. Because Satan is very real. He is not God's equal. Not by a long shot. Satan has enormous intelligence and knowledge. God knows everything. Satan has enormous power. God has all power. If you compare any large, great quantity to infinity, there is no comparison. God is almighty, all-knowing, and omnipresent. He's everywhere. If you go down to the depths of the sea, God's there. If you go up to the heights, God is there. Satan has to have a network of folks to handle things because he can only be in one place at a time. God himself is everywhere, including right here, right now. And you need to face him.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
We not only have a powerful enemy that we need to recognize, but we need to know how he works. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul says, I'm doing this in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. He's got tactics, and his weapon that he uses so effectively is lies. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But Ephesians 6, verse 11, again talks about the schemes of the devil. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against what? The devil's schemes. I was on a podcast yesterday, and I was talking with folks about the fact that if you're just watching current events and you don't have an eye for the supernatural, so much of what is going on makes no sense. What are these people up to? Why would they do that? Why did that person say that? Well, there's another team. You and I are living in a world that is in rebellion against God, and it's not just people. Our warfare is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness. And I'm telling you, if you don't recognize that, if you don't see that there are forces at work, do you remember in Mark chapter 5 what the demons pleaded for Jesus not to do? Don't send us out of this region. Okay? That was their turf. They were responsible. They didn't want to be driven back from their ground. Please let us go into the pigs and cause them to self-destruct. If you're not going to let us destroy this man, let us go into the swine and destroy them. Do you remember that after the pigs committed suicide, that the townspeople came out? And do you remember what their great request was? Please leave our region. Well, why would they say the same thing that the demoniac had voiced? Because Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that is what is at work in those who are disobedient. They are slaves to the same forces of darkness. And all of us were as well until we were given new life and rescued out of that kingdom and brought into the kingdom of Jesus. So we have a powerful enemy. We need to understand how he works. Third point, the main battleground is the mind. It's the mind. Jesus said that when Satan lies, he speaks his native language. John 8:44, he says, he is a liar and the father of lies. The main battleground is the mind, and Satan's great weapon is lying. You see, if the devil were to come to me and say, Jim, this is Satan. I'm out to destroy you. I come to steal, kill, and destroy. I have several requests of you. If you will do these things, it will help me to accomplish my mission of causing you to destroy your life. I wouldn't say, oh, well, what are they? Okay. I'd say, get out of here. I don't want to destroy myself. So Satan doesn't come and say, this is the devil. I want you to destroy yourself. What he comes is, sounds like me. Sounds like my thought. And the thought in my head is, wow, that looks good. And you know what I think? I think, wow, that looks good. And he says, it won't hurt anything. And I think, it won't hurt anything. Can anybody besides me identify with this process? Do you ever have thoughts? And sometimes after you do something, you say, why did I do that? What was I thinking? In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter responded, "You are the Christ, the Son of the Most High God." Jesus said, "Peter, you are so much smarter than everybody else." No, that's not what Jesus said. In verse 17, Jesus said, "You are blessed, Simon, because flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Where did Peter's realization that Jesus is the Christ come from? It came from God. It's Matthew 16:17. Love that verse. But down in verse 23, something else has happened. You see, after Jesus reminded them who he is, Jesus told them that he was about to go to the cross and die for our sins. And Peter began rebuking Jesus, saying, "Surely not, Lord." Jesus is telling him what's going to happen. Jesus is saying to his disciples, "This is the mission. This is why I came. This is what the scriptures say is going to happen. This is going to happen." And Peter says, "No. No." And Jesus said, "Oh, Peter, buddy, I know you're just saying that because you're my friend and you hate to think about something bad happening to me." Is that what Jesus said? No, Jesus responded, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man." Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the Most High God." Where did he get that idea? From God. Peter says, "No, you're not to go to the cross." Where did he get that idea? From Satan. And Jesus spoke directly to the enemy who was trying to lie through Jesus' friend Peter and tempt Jesus not to believe what the scripture said and not to set his face like a flint toward Jerusalem and go and fulfill the Father's plan. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, we are told that we need to take every thought captive to the Lordship of Christ. All of us are bombarded with thoughts. Stuff inside our head, things that people say, things that people do, all this stuff coming at us. And if we just absorb whatever is going on around us and act on whatever impulses we have and whatever thoughts pop into our head, we're going to be unstable people, bouncing around from this thing to that thing, sometimes making a good move, sometimes making a bad move. But, you know, it's just that's the way life is. Well, that is the way that life is for most people. But that's not the way it has to be. Take every thought captive to the Lordship of Christ. Realize that there is such a thing as truth. And God's word is truth. So you use God's word as the standard to see, is this thought I'm having pleasing to the Lord? Last time we looked at Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 through 4, which says, set your mind on things above. You choose where your mind is set. How many of you sometimes have thoughts you wish you hadn't had? Absolutely. I mean, that's just part of the human condition. The question is, what do you do with those thoughts? Do you say no and reject it, or do you think, oh, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. Oh, I wonder what that would be like. Wow, what if I were to do that? Oh. If you feed on those thoughts that are sinful, you're going to end up doing things that are sinful. It starts on the inside. Set your mind on things above. focus there. Philippians chapter 4. You're familiar with it. Philippians 4. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. We can choose, I'm not going to listen to that garbage. I'm not going to look at that trash. I'm not going to think about those things. And the way to do it is to start thinking about the right stuff. Whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is praiseworthy. Set your mind on things above. If I think about all the problems in this life, I could get pretty depressed. But if I think about the Lord, all of a sudden the clouds lift. And I realize God is great and greatly to be praised. Psalm 42 and 43, we have a great example of how this works. In verse 5, psalmist has been talking about going through a hard time. And then he says in verse 5, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Oh, he's back down in the depths. The next verse. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Very next psalm, Psalm 43. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from deceitful and wicked men. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I'll go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. There is a window on the way to fight in this battle. Yes, be honest about what you feel. Yes, be honest about the thoughts you're having. But then recognize there is a truth that transcends all of that. And so I'm going to say to my soul, what are you moping about? Why are you downcast? Put your hope in God. Yes, my hope is in the Lord. And because of who he is, and because of what he has done, I do not have to be afraid. The warfare is lifelong, but the victory is already won for those who are in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate God's children from his love. And so you and I have every reason to rejoice. We have every reason to give thanks. Jesus has proven God's love for us. And therefore, we can rest in the fact that whatever comes, nothing can separate us from his love. I hope you're trusting him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.